How swap pitu of your own father adesham the order avidvamsa ignorant vipashtita who knows everything anurupam suitable for you avijnaya without knowing aho alas, sargam, the creation, kadirshata, you will perform. Translation. Alas, your father is omniscient, but you do not know his actual order. Without knowing the actual purpose of your father, how will you create prajini? So it doesn't have a commentary, so the next verse. Shri Shuka Uvacha Ta Nisham Yata Haryashwa Otpatika Manishaya Vacha Kutam Tu Dervarshi Swayam Vimam Rishur Dhyā. Translation. Shri Shukadeva Goswami said, hearing these enigmatic words of Narad Muni, the Haryashvas considered them with their natural intelligence, without help from others. Text number 11. Bhushetram jivasam gyayad anadi nijabandhanam adrishtva tasya nirvanam kem asat kamabhir bhavet. Translation purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation, the Haryashvas understood the meaning of Narada's words as follows. Let's go back quickly before we do that, just to Narada's statements and see if we can understand the meaning with our natural intelligence. This is the great sage Narada said, this is text 6 and 8. My dear Haryashvas, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. There is a kingdom where only one man lives, and where there is a hole from which, having entered, no one emerges. A woman there who is extremely unchaste adorns herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom, there is a river flowing in both directions, a wonderful home made of 25 materials, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. You have not seen all this, and therefore you are inexperienced boys without advanced knowledge. How then will you create prajini? So you've understood with your natural intelligence what Narada Muni is saying. Anything? So here's what the Haryashvas understood with their natural intelligence. The word bhu, the earth, refers to the field of activities. The material body, which is a result of the living being's actions, is his field of activities, and it gives him false designations. Since time immemorial, he has received various types of material bodies, which are the roots of bondage to the material world. If one foolishly engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not look forward and does not look toward the cessation of this bondage, what will be the benefit of his actions? Asat kem asat kamabhir bhavet. That's the refrain of the next 10 verses. Kem asat kamabhir bhavet. What is the use of his fruitive activities if he doesn't know all these things? What is the use? Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Narada Muni spoke to the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, about the allegorical subjects. The king, the kingdom, the river, the house, the physical elements, and so forth. So 10 allegorical subjects are there. After considering these by themselves, the Haryashvas can understand that the living entity encaged in his body seeks happiness but takes no interest in how to become free from his encagement. This is a very important verse since all of the living entities in the material world are very active, having obtained their particular types of bodies. A man works all day and night for sense gratification, and animals like hogs and dogs also work for sense gratification all day and night. Birds, beasts, and all other conditioned living entities engage in various activities without knowledge of the soul, encaged within the body. Especially in the human form of body, one's duty is to act in such a way that he can release himself from his encagement. But without the instructions of Narada or his representative in the disciplic succession, people blindly engage in bodily activities to enjoy maya sukha, flickering temporary happiness. They do not know how to become free from their material engagement. Rishabhdev therefore said that such activity is not at all good, since it encages the soul again and again in the body, subjected to the threefold miseries of the material condition. The Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, can immediately understand the purport of Narada's instructions. Our Krishna consciousness movement is especially meant for such enlightenment. We are trying to enlighten humanity so that people may come to the understanding that they should work hard in tapasya for self-realization and freedom from the continuous bondage of birth, death, old age, and disease in one body after another. Maya, however, is very strong. She is expert in putting impediments in the way of this understanding. Therefore, sometimes one comes to the Krishna consciousness movement, but again falls into the clutches of Maya, not understanding the importance of this movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Narada Muni gave 10 allegorical statements, which we read in verses 6 through 8. And the Haryashvas understood that with their natural intelligence. So in the next 10 verses, each particular allegorical statement will be expressed. Simple enough. So the first allegorical statement mentioned by Narada Muni says, adrishtvanam bhuvoyuyam, which means having not seen the end of the earth. That's what it literally means. Prabhupada translated it here in the word to word. Adrishtvatam bhuvoyuyam means not having seen the end of the earth. Understand? Of course not. That's where we have commentary. So Prabhupada translates that in that verse, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. You have not seen the extremities of the earth. So the earth refers to the, in this verse it is saying, text 11, bhu shetram jiva samgyaya, first line. The earth refers to the shetra. Shetra means the field of activities. So the field of activities refers to our body. The body is the field of activities by which a living entity plants the seeds of enjoyment and suffering, isn't it? Through his actions. Just like if you lived on one farm, I think someone has lived here on one farm. Derek is here also, farmer boy. Greg is also a farmer boy. We have many farmer boys. So you have one field is there, and then you plant many different seeds, and from those seeds you get different types of vegetables. If you plant mango seed, you get mango fruit. If you plant cauliflower, I don't know if the seed is there. Let's say avocado seed. Then you get avocado plant tree, isn't it? So according to the type of seed you plant in the field, then you get a certain type of fruit, isn't it? So this body is the field of activity. That's how it's described in Bhagavad Gita also, chapter 13. It is a field in which we're planting the different seeds of enjoyment and suffering through our actions. If we do pious activities, then you've planted the seed of enjoyment in which you'll get some future opportunity to enjoy. You enjoy beauty, wealth, etc., education. These are all the seeds of enjoyment fructifying. And if you plant the seed of suffering through sinful engagement, then you get the fruit of suffering in the form of ugly body, dumb body, one is too dumb, dull-headed to understand anything, or animal body, or worse, hellish bodies. So this body is the field of activities by which we're planting different seeds of suffering and enjoyment. Isn't it simple? Very beautiful understanding and way to visualize it. So Narada Muni said, you have not seen the extremities of these bodies. Because, in other words, on the pious side of enjoyment, you have the extremes in terms of Swargaloka, where enjoyment is so intense, they cannot think of spiritual life. And then you have the extremities of hellish bodies, where the suffering is so intense, you cannot think of self-realization. In both cases, if too much enjoyment, too much suffering, then you cannot think of spiritual life, isn't it? Therefore, when we're trying to preach in America, because people think they are enjoying nicely, and relatively speaking, relative to other countries, America may be nicely enjoying. So because they enjoy nicely, they cannot think of spiritual life. They think there is no place for spiritual life. It is impractical. And if you go to a country where suffering is too intense, then they cannot think of civilization also because they're too hungry. They're afraid they're going to be bombed or something next day. So it's too much fear, too much anxiety. They also cannot think of spiritual life. So Narada Muni said, you have not seen the extremities of the type of bodies you can get in the material world. The idea is that if you were aware of those extremities, then you would not be so concerned about fruit of engagements for existing nicely in the material world. That's the last line. Kim asat kama bir bhavet. What is the use of all this fruit of activity? Because this karma bir, this fruit of activity, is simply planting the seeds of future enjoyment or future suffering. Now, if you know what is the result of such seed planting in the field of activities, these various extreme conditions of bodies, then what is the use of that affair? It is not going to get you ultimate happiness. Ultimate happiness can only be had if you are out of the material body, isn't it? Ultimate happiness can only be had if you're not in a material body. So Prabhupada even quotes this verse from the Rishabhdev's teachings. One verse is there. Nunam pramata kurute vikarma yanindriya pritaya prinoti nasadu manye. What is that? Nasadu manye? Asana piklesha dasadeya. Nasadu manye, this is not good. So Rishabhdev says, Nunam pramata kurute vikarma. The living entities in this material world, having various fields of activity, are pramata. Pramata means crazy. Understand? Crazy. Just like sometimes you say, many of us have this experience, we go on Hari now, and everyone looks at us as if we're crazy. And when we see them, we look at them as if they are crazy. So Prabhupada said, who is crazy? And both parties think the other party is crazy. But Bhagavatam explains why people are crazy. Nunam pramata, everyone is, mata actually means madness. Pramata means like veritably mad, very mad, extremely mad. They are crazy. Why are they crazy? Because they're doing vikarma. Vikarma means activities, sinful activities, activities that are not conducive for the goal of self-realization. All of that is ignorance. Whether it's pious activity, according to Mahaprabhu, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, whether you do pious activity or sinful activity, from the absolute perspective, it is all vikarma. Understand? Because it is exploitation of Krishna's energies for your own purposes. You may piously exploit or you may impiously exploit. It is all vikarma. So the living entities in this material world are pramata. They're all crazy because they're doing vikarma. Whether it's pious or impious, it is all vikarma. Understand? Just like I told this one time, I was in the car. We were going to a Northwestern program, myself, I think Bhakta Luke, my brother. And I got in the car, I was upset about something, I don't even remember what it was. But I got in the car and slammed the door. And I said, people are crazy. You know, I was like frustrated about something. People are crazy. And then my brother commented, yes, some in the mode of goodness, some in the mode of passion, some in the mode of ignorance. And then I felt so relieved, I just started laughing. Because normally you don't think mode of goodness is a type of insanity also. But my brother said, yeah, some are in the mode of goodness, some in the mode of passion, some in the mode of ignorance. All are crazy. In other words, without Krishna consciousness, kema sa kamabir bhavet. Even if you do goodness activities, it is a golden chain. Goodness activities without Krishna consciousness is a golden chain. And passion is a copper chain. And ignorance is a iron chain. So if someone wraps you up in golden chain, you will feel happy about that? Suppose they arrest you, bind you by the hands and feet with golden chain. You feel, this is very nice. Huh? Do you feel like that? This is very nice. First class chains. Or they lock you in a prison cell and it's made of gold. Huh? You feel, this is very nice. And you cannot get out. When you say, this is nice, golden cell is there. You feel like that? Very nice thing. You feel disturbed. You're trapped either way. So whether golden chain, copper chain, or iron chain, it is a form of bondage without any Krishna consciousness. So, kema sakamabir, what is the use? Even if you do pious activities in this world, it is also vikarma, because it binds you to the material world ultimately. That's the idea. So, nunam pramata kurute vikarma. And this vikarma is going on, why? Yanindriya pritaya aprinoti. Because the conditioned souls have a love for the sensual pleasures, indriya priti. They're attached to sense gratification. And so they're pursuing, either in goodness, passion, or ignorance, sense enjoyment, planting the seeds of suffering or enjoyment. Huh? because of love of the senses, indriya priti, because they love sense gratification, isn't it? We love sense gratification. We don't love Krishna. Sometimes we say, go to the kirtan, they say, chant from the heart. What heart? If I chant for sense gratification, then you can get me inspired. Because we, indriya priti, we love sense gratification. So I say, chant from the heart for Krishna, you cannot do. But if I say, chant so you can get some sense gratification, then from the heart you will chant nicely, isn't it? Because indriya priti, we love sense gratification, isn't it? So Rishabhdev says like that. Yeah, indriya pritaya apinoti. Because of sense gratification, the jivas are doing vikarma, unfavorable activities, and goodness, passion, or ignorance. And for that reason, they are pramata, they are mad. So nasadu manye, I don't think this is good. This is not a good program that the conditioned souls are doing. Why? Asana pikleshada asadeha. Because by this sense gratification program, they have to get one field of activity after another. One body after another. And this body, the word that is used for body in this verse is kleshada. Kleshada means the giver of klesha, misery. Just like Narada means the giver of Narayana. Narada, the dati means to give. So Narada Muni. Narada means the giver of Narayana. And this body is the giver of kleshas, isn't it? Material body is the giver of miseries. Miseries caused by one's body and mind is very intense. In fact, of the threefold miseries, there are threefold miseries we often say. Shastra says, misery is caused by one's body and mind. That is called adhyatmika klesha. Then there's misery is caused by other people's bodies and mind. You call them loved ones, parents, in-laws, or bed bugs, mosquitoes, and terrorists. This is called misery is given by other living entities' bodies and mind. This is called adhibhautika klesha. And then misery is caused by material nature, too cold, too hot, like Chicago's source of misery, because most of the year is winter. There's only two seasons in Chicago, winter, summer. And summer is only a couple of months, and then the rest of the time, winter. So this is adhyatmika, or adhidaivika klesha. But of these three types of kleshas, in one sense, you can say it is only adhyatmika klesha, because it is really the situation of the mind that causes a certain type of perception by which you suffer or enjoy. Actually, for the soul, there is no enjoyment in this world, nor is there any suffering for the soul in this world. It is only due to the identification with the mind, the subtle body, that makes one think that I am enjoying or that I am suffering. So in that sense, there is only one klesha, adhyatmika klesha. The misery is caused by the gross and subtle body. So Rishabhdev says this, asanapi kleshada asadeha. This body is the giver of klesha. So the living entities are planting the seeds of suffering or enjoyment by their actions and getting one type of body by which they have to enjoy or suffer. And this has been going on for how long? This has been going on. Anadi nijabandhanam. That's the second line of the verse, text 11. Anadi nijabandhanam. Anadi means it's been going on for almost forever, for a time without beginning, that this has been going on. This actually meaning of nitya bhada. In Nitya Bhada, there are Nitya Mukta and Nitya Bhada jivas, right? So Nitya Bhada means eternally bound. So if we are eternally bound, then what is the scope for? Liberation. That is our constitutional position, to be eternally bound. What is the scope for? Liberation, isn't it? So Nitya Bhada refers to, actually, Acharya says, Sridhar Swami says particularly, Anadi Bhada, we've been bound for a time without beginning. Or as Prabhupada translated, so long you cannot think of it. But a time without beginning, we've been bound. For that long, we've been in this material world. How long we've been in this material world? Basically, forever. Almost forever, for all intents and purposes. So because we've been in the material world so long, then that must mean we have experienced all the different types of extreme conditions. As Mahaprabhu said, Brahmanda Brahmite, that the living entity is traveling all over this Brahmanda. Sometimes going up, sometimes going down. Sometimes going up, sometimes going down. Just like Srila Prabhupada Maharaj, she says like this. It's like a Ferris wheel. You know, boop, 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 boop. Going up, boop, 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 boop. Earth planet, boop, 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 boop. Hell, boop, 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 boop. Earth planet, boop, 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 boop. Like this, this is what's going on. This is the samsara chakra, the wheel of samsara. So we've experienced all sorts of extreme bodies. Yes. When sometimes you're using bathroom, you may see some worm crawling in the urinal or something like that. You say, I do to sense gratification. He is having his body. You should think, this is the consequence of enjoyment. You're seeing one bug is crawling in the urinal, and people are passing water on him also. You see a lot like this in India, but sometimes in America you may see in the brahmachari bathroom because it's kept nasty. Anyway, so you see you see one bug is there, everyone is passing water on him. You should think this is the result of sense gratification. And we have also been in such a situation before, but we do not remember. Understand? So here it's saying, you have not seen the extremities of the kshetras, the material bodies. You have not seen. But truthfully, we have seen the extremities of these conditions, but we do not remember. And therefore, we become so absorbed in this present body without understanding how we got this present body by our actions and how we're going to get future bodies by our present actions. Understand? And that, in other words, this reminded me of a verse that the Yamadutas said. Yamadutas are Yamaraj or the Kiras, but they're very intelligent. They speak very nice philosophy. Of course, I don't think you want to attend their Bhagavatam classes, but that would be scary. But very nice philosophy they speak. And so they give this verse here that describes a point that I'm trying to make. I was reminded of this. It says here, as a sleeping person acts according to the body manifested in his dream and accepts it to be himself, isn't it? You dream and you get a dream body, and you so intimately identify with that dream body that you forget that I am Bhakta so-and-so, isn't it? You forget, you don't remember. When you're dreaming, you don't think, oh, I am Shravan dreaming. You think you are that body in the dream, isn't it? Such is power of dream. So as a sleeping person acts according to the body manifested in his dreams and accepts it to be himself, so one identifies with his present body, which he acquired because of his past religious or irreligious actions, and is unable to know his past or future lives. So the Sanskrit of the verse says, Nashta Jamma Shriti. Nashta Jamma Shriti means their memory is lost due to birth. So when every time we take on a new body, we forget what has happened in our previous body. Just like Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, he asks Krishna. Krishna says that he gave this knowledge to the sun god. The sun god gave it to Ishvaku. So that was like over 120 million years ago. So Arjuna said, wait, you're only like 125. How did you give it to Surya 120 million years ago? I know you. You're only 125 years. How do you give it so long ago? So then Krishna says that you and I have both taken, have appeared in this world many times before, but I can remember it, whereas you cannot. Because when you change body, nasha jama shmriti, then your memory is destroyed by birth. By birth. So as a result, you're not aware of what type of activities you did to get the present body, and you're not aware of what you're doing now by which you get a future body. This is called Nashta Jamma Shmriti. Whatever I did in the past, I don't know by which I have this present body. And whatever I'm doing now, I also don't know by which I'll get a future body. I'm planting seeds will fructify later. So Narada Muni said, you have not seen the extremities of the earth. It means your memory has been destroyed. The memory of the results of fruit of activity. The memory of the results of fruit of activity has been destroyed. Otherwise, if you knew the dangers of doing fruit of activity and how it could get you a hellish body, who would take a risk? Who would take a risk? Suppose I give you two options. One option, you can go to hell and suffer for 1,000,000 years. Another option, you can enjoy on the earth planet. Who would take the risk? To 50%, would you take a risk? Suppose I give an option. You have three options. Option number one, you choose the wrong pill, you go to hell for 1,000,000 years. Option number two, you choose proper pill, you can enjoy it on the earth planet. Option number three, don't take the risk. Which one would you take? If three options are there, which one you will choose? No risk? Someone is thinking, This is called Nasha Jamma Shmriti. Your memory is destroyed. Therefore, you're taking risk. That's the point. You understand? If you had three options like that, who would take the risk? One option is you can enjoy an earth planet for 80 years, tops. That's not 30 years. After 30, everything goes down. I know. That's one option. Another option, you choose wrongly, you go to hell for 1,000,000 years. Another option, don't take the risk. Which one would you choose? What are you thinking? Stay honestly. I'm good. Good means I'll try my odds. So this is called Nashta Jamma Smriti. Huh? Our memory is destroyed, so we're taking risk with fruitive activities. Kemasak Kamabir Bhavet. What is the use of you taking such big risk? Actually, if you could remember the extreme conditions by which people suffer, and even enjoy in this world, which is also a type of suffering. Enjoyment sets you up for suffering. Right? The more you enjoy, the more you have to suffer. Enjoyment is just like I don't know if ever any of you had to ever learn how to play baseball or softball, and they have this, I think they call it a tee. And then you just sit the ball on top of the tee, and then the kids can just practice swinging at the ball. So then enjoyment is like that tee. Huh? It sets you up for suffering, you know, which is coming in the form of a bat. The more you enjoy, that is just setting you up for suffering. Isn't it? Because that enjoyment causes what? Enjoyment causes attachment to those things which give enjoyment, isn't it? And the more it gives enjoyment, the more you get attached to that. So that means to that degree you get attached to that degree you have to suffer when it disappears, which is the nature of the ephemeral world. Everything will eventually be gone. So enjoyment sets you up for suffering. So if you have to suffer, if you knew what are the extreme conditions of suffering and enjoyment, even in Swargaloka, they are afraid that any moment they may drop down from Swargaloka after the results of their piety is destroyed. So then who would take the risk if they knew, if they could really remember what are the extreme conditions of bodies people have to endure? Who would take such risk? Kemasak Kamabir. So it is saying that. Why take such a risk? So then, only reason one takes such a risk is due to Indriya Priti. Indriya Priti means the love for sense gratification, isn't it? And Prabhupada also says here it is due to the influence of, another way of expressing it, Maya. Maya influences us to do this. Maya has two sorts of shaktis, Prabhupada. One shakti is called the covering shakti, avarana shakti. Another shakti is called Prikshapatmika shakti. So one shakti of Maya normalizes our experience in material bodies. So you have a body as a worm in stool, and you think, this is the life. This is going on. That's called the avarana shakti, the covering shakti. So that you have body of a worm in stool, you're eating stool also, and you think, this is the life. You say, oh, that's disgusting. You only say that because you don't have worm and stool body. But if you have worm and stool body, you will say, this is the life. This is called the normalizing potency. Or we have human bodies, and the avarana shakti maya normalizes that. This is normal. This is normal. Having human bodies, suffering, falling in love, falling out of love, falling in love, falling out. This is all normal. This is all part of life. This is called the normalizing shakti. It normalizes our experiences in material existence. Just like sometimes if you travel by CTA, you get on one train and it smells really bad. So immediately you think, I'll get off to the next train as soon as the next stop comes. But as you're on the train for 5 minutes, you become adjusted to the smell. And then you sit down peacefully. Isn't it? It is like this. Only you're on the train, a bad smell is coming. You think, I'll go to the next train. But while the train is moving, you become adjusted to the smell. Then you sit down peacefully, isn't it? No disturbance whatsoever. This is called the avarana shakti. It normalizes the experience of material existence. And after that, next shakti of maya is called prikshapatmika shakti, which distracts us whenever we get a clue, a hint, that something's wrong with this situation. Then someone calls you a bad name. You get all absorbed in that you forget about that clue, that hint of information you were getting about something being wrong with the material existence. I often give a simple way of visualize it. It's like we give someone a book on Sankirtan, and we invite them to Sunday feast. Then they think they will just come. I'm going to come and see what is this all about. And just when they're about to walk out of the building, their ex calls them and says, do you want to get together? They're like, yeah. This is called as the Prishapatmika Shakti. Prabhupada's language in one place is the spell of diversion. As you're getting a clue of what is actually going on in this material world, the material nature will distract you with duality, and absorb your mind in asat so much so that your hint of what was actually going on with the material existence is destroyed. So we're distracted. So Narada Muni is making this point that you have this body, you're getting these bodies from a time without beginning, but you cannot remember the extreme conditions. So therefore, not being able to remember, you're performing fruitive activities. So then the third line says, adrishtva tasya nirvana. So without seeing the cessation of these bodies, Prabhupada's translation If one foolishly engages in temporary fruitive activities and does not look toward the cessation of this bondage, what will be the benefit of his actions? So if you're going on in life like this without seeing how to put an end to it, then what is the use of your planting the seeds of enjoyment and suffering? Simply, you will have to enjoy little, suffer a lot. Little enjoyment is there, suffering is a lot. So one sentence, I nicely expressed it, Prabhupada says here, I'm looking for this sentence, he says, yeah, after considering these by themselves, the Haryashvas can understand that the living entity encaged in his body seeks happiness, but takes no interest in how to become free from his encagement. So once we get the body, like I said, our memory is destroyed of what we did to get this body and what we're doing to get a future body. So we become so absorbed in this body that we do not understand the consequences of what we're doing. So unless you see to the end of this, how to get free from this, then what is the use of your fruitive activities? This explains another verse of Narada to Vyasa in the beginning. When he says, if a person takes to bhakti is meant for the cessation of the material existence, secondarily speaking, and of course for attaining love of Krishna primarily. So for one who takes to bhakti, even if he does so imperfectly, and therefore later on falls down due to a lack of maturity in bhakti, there is no loss whatsoever. Because the nature of bhakti is that it is avyayam, it is imperishable. So any advancement one makes in devotional service cannot be destroyed, even by taking on future bodies. Whereas if you very carefully do fruitive activities nicely, you're a very good and responsible person, but minus Krishna consciousness, then what have you gained, except for another body by which you'll enjoy and suffer? So therefore, accepting activities of bhakti is never a loss. There's never a loss. Sometimes someone thinks like this, which is not very... If I take the Krishna consciousness now and I will not be successful and I've left behind the material world, then what would be my status? Sometimes we think like that. Or sometimes we feel a little uncomfortable if we hear devotees suggest to other people to drop everything material and just take the Krishna consciousness. Because we say they're not mature and therefore why are we advising them to drop everything in Krishna consciousness? Well, that in a relative sense, that may have some, there may be some prudence to that. But absolutely speaking, everyone is doing foolish activities, planting the seeds of suffering and enjoyment. So if you tell them to stop that and take to Krishna consciousness fully, and even if they're not successful in that Krishna consciousness, what have they lost? They've only gained something. Whereas if you told them to do everything very nicely and they end up not becoming Krishna conscious, then what have they gained except for another material body in the future? So this will be the sort of theme of the next upcoming verses. Kema sakama bir bhavet. What is the use of this fruit of activity? And it will give different perspectives of trying to understand the futility of goal-orientated actions in this world. And this way, Narada Muni has convinced them to give up such goal-orientated activity in the form of performing tapasya and for having children, which was the purpose for which they were there. I think I'm finished here. Just one other thing. There was something Prabhupada mentioned about austerity, isn't it, at the end? We are trying to enlighten humanity so that people may come to their understanding that they should work hard in tapasya for self-realization and freedom from continuous bondage of birth, death, old age, and disease. Yeah, this last point Prabhupada makes, that this is the purpose of this movement, is to give people this enlightenment, to help them to appreciate the futility of goal-orientated actions in this world, and to help them gain appreciation for the beatitude of Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose. And as a result of a sincere devotee's endeavors, people do come to appreciate that. That from an ultimate perspective, this goal-oriented action is not very useful. And the beatitude becomes very attractive. The beatitude of Krishna consciousness attracts their heart. But due to the strong influence of Maya, someone again gets attracted to the material world. Prabhupada makes that point, not understanding the importance of this movement. So one has to do a lot of tapasya to stay in Krishna consciousness. In the back of the Godhead magazines, if any of you ever likes to read, there's the often these articles are there, how I came to Krishna consciousness. And those stories are always so cute and inspiring and far out. Some of them are like really far out. Someone found a book in the garbage can. Someone was walking their dog in the forest and they found the book. So you have many such cool articles, how I came to Krishna consciousness. But a better article series would be How I Stayed in Christian Consciousness. That would be a much more better article series, How I Stayed in Christian Consciousness. Coming is not so remarkable because we come by the mercy of some sadhus. They're preaching to us either directly or indirectly through reading the books. So you come. You get some appreciation of the futility of material existence, the beatitude of Christian consciousness. But staying in Christian consciousness is much more challenging. Why? Because of the influence of maya. Because of indriya priti, love of sense gratification. Just like if you have a first love, then you, anyway, this is maybe not suitable, but you can relate. I'm sure many of us have seen enough movies to relate. You have a first love, then you get a second love, but your mind doesn't forget the first love so easily, isn't it? So our first love is sense gratification. And we're trying to get a second love, Krishna, but we don't so easily forget our first love. Our first love is sense gratification. So even after you come to Krishna consciousness, staying in Krishna consciousness is a great challenge. It requires great tapasya to remain in Krishna consciousness, mentioned here. Bahavo Gana Tapasa, the tapasya of understanding what is the philosophy of Krishna consciousness deeply. The tapasya of questioning yourself, questioning your deepest convictions. That this tapasya has to go on. Tapasya of chanting Hare Krishna every single day, serving Vaishnavas, Guru, deities. All this tapasya is required, a lot of tapasya, doing it with, and tapasya doesn't just mean doing it ritualistically, but doing it with the mind fixed on that activity. Prabhupada describes earlier in this canto, tapasya means keeping the mind fixed on one sort of action, activity. So it requires a lot of tapasya to stay in Krishna consciousness. Why? Because we cannot forget our first love. Our first love is sense gratification. So we don't easily forget that first love. And therefore, we don't perform the tapasya to develop love for Krishna. Tapo divyam putrakanyena sattvam. That tapasya for developing love for Krishna. Pritir nayavan mai vasudheve namuchate deha yogena tava. All these sayings are Rishabh teaching. Pritir nayavan mai vasudheve. If you don't develop love, priti, for Vasudeva, then namuchate. Namuchate means you cannot get free from deha yoga. Understand? Deha yoga means the yoga of connecting to your next body. Understand? It's just like we go see downtown Chicago. Many yoga studios are there, but they all are different they're all different, sub-studios of one, conglomerate. Subsets of one, subset of one universal set. What is that universal set? Deha yoga. Deha yoga means yoga of connecting to your next body. That is all that's going on. This deha yoga is going on. Why? And if deha yoga continues, so long as you do not develop priti for Vasudeva. Priti nayavan mayi Vasudeva. So it's that tapasya for developing real love for Krishna. And then when you develop love for Krishna, you forget about that first love of sense gratification. Anyway, any questions? This is some points that I can understand. Anyone wants to say anything? Not everything is clear. Okay, I'll just send you one. Say some comment. No, but it makes sense. Yeah. Yeah, if you've ever been to India, the trains are like, 70 years old, and you can imagine how dirty they are. And it's just it's unbelievable. Yeah, don't worry. These trains will soon catch up. It's a matter of time. I know, they will soon catch up because people of Kali Yuga are dirty enough that nothing will stay good for a very long time factor. Okay then, is there anything, no questions? Then we'll finish, yeah. Which one, the Kim?
Kiyami, why am I? Yeah. Am I and why am I suffering?
Yeah, Prabhupada says in Sanatana Goswami, his first question to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was, who am I? Why am I suffering the threefold miseries? This sort of question. Prabhupada says in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita that this is the beginning of human life, actually. He said, unless one inquires in this way about what his condition in the material world, then he is not to be considered a perfect human being. So this is, in other words, because of accepting material bodies and because our memory has been lost due to taking on a material body, then we just take it for granted that this is all that it is. And then taking it for granted, we start moving this material world. So the only thing that can check that material movement is inquiry. One makes advancement on the strength of his inquiry. So when you have deep questions, then you can get deep answers. In other words, inquiry reveals truth. According to the nature of the inquiry, that inquiry itself reveals truth. In that sense, the person who's inquiring has the upper position, the upper hand. His question will reveal truth. So when we don't have any questions about the suffering condition of life and so on, then we remain illusioned by the material existence. Just like sometimes some suffering happens to someone in their life, some reversal. And that suffering causes them to question so many things. And from that question, they are open up to a whole new world of truth that they never had access to because they were minus that inquiry. Understand? So because of Sanatana Goswami's questions, he was able to gain tattva, he was able to gain knowledge of actual truth. And similarly, what I noticed that my observation has been on a personal level and also on a broader level, that when we are searching for our path of spiritual life, we have a lot of questions. Many times a lot of questions come when you're searching for a path. But then once you gain a path, then questions start to go down. Isn't it? Because you feel like now I'm part of something. I found my path. I'm part of something. I got the basic gist of everything. And so from that, inquiry starts to go down. But it's actually after you find your path, then the inquiry is supposed to increase. How to understand what the philosophy is saying deeper, deeper, deeper. How to understand how to establish a relationship with Krishna. On the strength of that question, then you make advancement. No questions about these sorts of matters, then no advancement. And deep questions, then a lot of advancement comes up. Like that. I mean, I don't know who to say. I don't know if you were thinking of a particular angle. Yeah. Okay then, so if there's nothing else, then I'll end the class. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.